7 before the hour. Welcome to tonight's program. Hi, my name is Mike Malloy. What's up? What's up? What are we doing? Oh, it's Friday night. That's right. Hey. This may be something. Remember that segment on David Letterman? Is it something or is it nothing? Remember that? Well, this may be something. You decide. We're going to put a link up at our website. They were talking about a hardball tonight. AmericansElect.org. AmericansElect.org. Just check it out. I'm not going to get into it very deeply tonight, but we will be following this one real close. AmericansElect.org. Okay. We have some crazy stuff tonight. Podcast trivia, probably the second hour. Prairie 2 has a piece here. What else we got? Reported on another filthy, lying, hypocritical teabagger. This one you'd like to really take his pants down and just blister his ass. I don't know. My grandmother used to use a switch off a lilac bush. I think that would be good. Malloy advocates violent attack against teabagger from Illinois. and did you hear about this guy, Warren Jeffs, the Mormon, whatever he is, who is accused of sexually assaulting two girls aged 12 and 15? Now, he's allowed to do that because, you know, Joseph Smith and the Angel Moroni and all this other stuff, you know, have instructed people who wound up being Mormons that all this is okay. Yeah, you know, it's in the Bible. I mean, look at Solomon. Look at David. Of course, David with, you know, men, women, it didn't really matter. But this guy, this Warren Jeffs, he's on trial in San Angelo, Texas. And he is accused of raping a little girl, 12 years old. Now, come on, for Christ's sake, I have a daughter, 7. This guy is having sex with girls 12, 13. Oh, well, God told me I could. God damn, this is fun. Sick bastard. Warren Jeffs. Anyway, he's representing himself at trial in this West Texas courtroom. This afternoon, he delivered a threatening statement to the judge, the bailiffs, the deputies, and I think the jury. He says God talked to him the other night and told him that those who are prosecuting him will, quote, face sickness and death, end quote. He said God said the following: I will wrest your power from you. I shall judge you. I shall let all people know your unjust ways. I shall send a scourge upon the counties of prosecutorial zeal to be humbled by sickness and death. I am the Lord God in heaven. I call upon the court to now cease this prosecution against my pure and holy way, coming against my church. Let it stop now. I am the Lord God over all that speaketh. Oh, man. You know, and the judge and the bailiffs just kind of went, yeah, okay, whatever. Earlier today, Jeffs launched into an agitated hour-long diatribe, according to the Salt Lake Tribune, when prosecutors introduced what is called, or what he calls, what Jeffs calls, sacred records pertaining to his family. Those are birth certificates and lists of all the people in Jeff's household in El Dorado, Texas, including his wives and his children and their dates of birth. Sacred documents, hallelujah, amen. He objected to the introduction of the records, claiming they were sacred and should remain secret and that his religious rights were being trampled. I have a right to rape. I have a right to have sex with 11 and 12 year and 13 year old girls. Yeah. I will turn you into dust. Speaking to the jury when these records were passed around, Jeff said, "You are now touching that which is sacred. The mockery must cease. That which is sacred to us must be kept sacred. Amen. Amen. Amen." Where do these people come from? Well, I mean, this man is obviously mad. Of course, all religious fundamentalists are. I said this the other night. First, they should all be denied guns, gun permits, anything near, anything that goes boom, bang, or explodes. They should not be allowed. I mean, even, like I said, even bows and arrows, slingshots, none of it, because they are crazy. I don't care if they're Jews, Muslims, or Christians, or Hindus. They're out of their minds. Fundamentalist religion people. They're crazy. Crazy. And given the right set of circumstances, they'll go out and commit mass murder. I mean, you know, no problem. Kids, old people, babies, I don't care. Kill, kill, kill. Why are you doing that? Because God told me to. Oh, okay. Here's the full statement from Warren Jeffs. From God to the Texas court that is prosecuting him for child sexual assault and rape. My statement being the Lord Jesus Christ's words as follows. I, the Lord God in heaven, call upon the court to now cease this prosecution against my pure and holy way, coming against my church. Let it stop now. I am the Lord God over all that speaketh. I will wrest your power from you. I shall judge you. I shall let all peoples know of your unjust ways. I shall send a scourge upon the counties of prosecutory zeal to be humbled by sickness and death. Innocent people, let this cease, lest you bring forth an eternal power of judgment upon your own lives. This being instructed by my God, who is the God above all. Amen. Hallelujah. And you people wonder why I'm an atheist? How many examples do you need? Well, I wonder if I'm going to be cast upon with a scourge and a sickness. Bring it on! You've heard about freshman U.S. Representative Joe Walsh from Illinois, haven't you? A tax-bashing Tea Party freak who really waves his finger, figuratively and literally, at Barack Obama and other Democrats about fiscal responsibility, right? He's been all over television. Every time you turn on, all of a sudden this silver-haired creep is out there talking about, well, you know, what was his last statement? He's not going to put one more dollar of debt on the backs of his kids and grandkids. Now, I mean, you already know the story, don't you? Of course you do. I mean, I've tried to show example after example after example, endless examples of hypocrisy, duplicity, lies, deceit on all of these bastards. From the top of the heap, that would be Rush Limbaugh and Glenn Beck, all the way down into the gutter, which would be this freak, Joe Walsh. Well, the heap starts in the gutter, but you know what I mean. Well, when I come back, I'll tell you more about Joe Walsh. I know, you already know. Stay with us. Coming to you live from Armageddon. Don't need to be teaching no biology. You'll learn all you need to learn at my ministry. And pay no attention to the slanderous lies. I never had my hand between that young boy's thighs. I'm with the God Squad, so listen. There's no place to run. 21 past the hour. Joe Walsh. No, not the guy with the Eagles. Joe Walsh, freshman representative from Illinois, who likes to lecture the Democrats and the president. He doesn't want to put one more dollar of debt on the backs of his kids or grandkids, he said on one of these TV shows the other day. And, you know, just a loudmouth, son of a bitch, you're just all over the place talking about how he's not going to vote for anything that the Democrats or Obama could possibly suggest. No, he's not going to do... He's not going to do any of that. Well, because why? Because he is so concerned about things financial. Other than his children, his three children with his former wife, to whom he owes $117,000 in back child support. In his video lecturing Obama on the need to... get the nation's finances in order, he said, quote, I won't place one more dollar of debt on the backs of my kids and grandkids unless we structurally reform the way this town spends money. Oh, you little twit. Well, I mean, what a stupid-ass thing to say to begin with. I mean, it's ridiculous. But here is your typical teabagger. We told you about one the other night who sells phony, phony language programs, you know, what is it, Rosetta Stone DVDs or CDs or whatever. Another teabagger over in South Carolina. Here's another one from Illinois. And this son of a bitch, I don't care what the circumstances are. If you don't pay child support and you have children, you're a punk. You're a punk, and you deserve to go to jail. You're just a punk. You have no worth. None. Zero. Nothing. Nothing. Walsh starts that video by saying, President Obama, quit lying. Have you no shame, sir? Oh, that's original. In three short years, you've bankrupted the country. What? In court documents, after his... ex-wife Laura Walsh has a judge to suspend this pig's driver's license until he paid child support. Joe Walsh asked his ex-wife's lawyer, have you no decency? What is this turd? Where did this guy float up from? What kind of... Oh, well, that's right. He's a Republican. He's a teabagger. Huh? He's become the unofficial spokesman for the no compromise faction of the Republican majority in the House, right? He won't consider anything about raising the debt ceiling that includes raising taxes on the wealthy. And this miserable son of a bitch has no problem cheating his children. Cheating his children. Oh, my God. There's a whole bunch here. You can find it at the Sun-Times, Chicago Sun-Times, if you're interested. I don't know why you would want to wade into this crap. But, you know, once again, the reason it gets my attention is because it is so typical of a Republican and definitive of a teabagger. The deceit. The hypocrisy. It's the hypocrisy. That's the thing that makes me just, you know, want to start chewing on my own foot. It's just, I mean, this kind of hypocrisy that is, it's just, Joe Walsh, teabagger. Yeah, okay, of course you are, you slimy bastard. Now, there's a couple other things, too. I mean, his condo that he got with his girlfriend went into foreclosure or something. I don't know. He's a deadbeat all the way around. According to people on his staff, a lot of bills went unpaid, yet somehow he managed to come up with the several thousand dollars to lend, quote, to his campaign when he was running for this office. How do people back in Illinois, I don't know what district it is, it's probably a district that includes 9 or 10 large asylums, but how in the hell do you people in Illinois vote for someone like this? How do you do it? How do you send a piece of human waste like this? And there's so many of them, but I'm talking about this Joe Walsh dude. How do you send someone like that to Washington to make decisions about your life when he refuses to take care of his own children? $117,000 in back child support. Child support. Burn in hell, Walsh, you disgusting twit. We'll be right back.
Years old, she's steady trying to figure why the world is so cold. So she pops to get rid of all the pain. Plus she's having sex with a boy who's 16. Emotions run deep and she thinks she's in love. So there's no protection, he's using no glove. Never thinking about the consequences of her actions. Living for today and not tomorrow's satisfaction. She's steady trying to figure why the world is so cold.
Life's too short to listen to right-wing radio. Here's Mike Malloy.
25 before the hour. Who's this from? Martin and Bob. What am I looking at? Bob in Petaluma, California, listening on Green 960. Green 960? Is it Green 960? KKGN, right. Anyway, Bob writes, Mike, these idiot teabaggers are nothing more than a bunch of obstructionist racists spurred on by blanks like Rush Windbag. They're willing to dump our economy in an attempt to prevent Obama from being reelected. What's next? These teabaggers got to go. One good thing that may spin off the debt ceiling fiasco is that the military and military contractors won't get paychecks, so hopefully they will go on strike and world peace could break out. Rant on, Bob. Yeah, well, you know, there's two chances of that happening, right? None and nunner. Sam Smith, writing at Progressive Review, he kind of puts it all together here in a couple of sentences. He says, if the Republican Party is successful in its debt ceiling efforts, it will result in more deaths, more physical damage, more lost jobs, and more trauma in this country that Al-Qaeda has managed to inflict over the past decade. Add in the $1.2 trillion we've spent on the useless Iraq and Afghan wars, and it's fair to say that we've pretty well blown the last 10 years. And what bin Laden couldn't accomplish, the Tea Party will have. Yeah, that's the thing. We were talking about this last night. You know, this society's enemies have always been internal. There have never really been, and I know this is a broad statement, but if you take a look at the events leading to the times when it appeared that we were being provoked, I think you will find something different underneath the surface. But there has never been a time when this republic, this country, and now this society that we've come to call the American society, this group of 330 million people who live here on Turtle Island, there has never been a time when the threat wasn't internal, the serious threat, a threat of real, absolute destruction. It has always been internal. And once again, if you check slightly under the surface, you'll find that those threats, for the most part, usually had their origins in a lust that involve greed and more by the capitalist class. And I'm open to hearing anyone suggest a crisis in this country that wasn't that. Now, before you start sending me letters about the 19 terrorists from Saudi Arabia, 15 of them that came here to wreak destruction, again, I just ask you to go beneath the surface a little bit and find out, even in that event, what was the casus belli for these people? What was it that made them decide that they wanted to die in order to make a point? And look at what they attacked. The World Trade Center, which came to represent, if nothing else, U.S. capitalism gone insane, and the Pentagon. Now, without belaboring that point too much, just go back over the 230-some-year history of this country. And I think if you have the guts to really look at instances when this country was under dire threat of dissolving, and I don't just mean the Civil War, if you look at those events, whatever they were, whatever history, as it was taught to most of us, whatever history says it was, look a little deeper. You can do it now. You've got the internets. You can look all over the place. But I'm feel like I'm on fairly safe ground in saying that you will find that every serious threat to this country, our way of life, if I can use a phrase I'm just sick of until I could scream, but what is, all these threats were engineered, for the most part, by right-wingers, by the capitalists, by people inside this country who were just bound and determined to change it into something or stop it from evolving from something that was dark and vile and ugly. So I'll wait for your email. If you can come up with something, I sure would be interested in knowing what it was, where the threat was truly external. Truly external. And that the genesis of that threat was external. So there's my challenge for you. From Jay-Z. 53 terrorists are holding America hostage. They have a gun to our economic head, and unless they get their way, they're going to pull the trigger. When your Social Security check doesn't show up next month, we realize the folly of protests for smaller government, which was supposed to keep its hands off your Social Security. Will you understand how you fall in prey to the propaganda on Fox News? We finally know that Glenn Beck has been lying to you. Even though Obama offered drastic cuts in Social Security and Medicare, making you a sacrifice to the Tea Party, they still want more. The men who own the Tea Party want America to default on its interest payments. They want another Great Depression. They want interest rates to rise so that real estate prices will fall. Then when you walk away from an underwater mortgage, they will steal your house too. These are the men who are supposed to be the job makers. Where are the jobs? Gone to China. The Koch brothers, along with many, not all, of the very rich, own the Tea Party. They inherited their wealth from their fathers who sold important oil technology to the Soviet Union. The Koch brothers. Some might call these people a traitor, but they're really just capitalists. Whatever it took to get rich. The Republican Party has always said you need to pull yourself up by your bootstraps. I bet you never thought they would steal your boots. Yeah, that's what the Koch brothers' old man did. Provided the means for great wealth for Stalin, so that he could commit the kind of mass murder. See, this is what I'm talking about. External threats, internal threats. You will find that some of the most evil sons of bitches on earth lived right here in the good old U.S. of A. Probably went to 4th of July parades and waved little tinny little flags and so on and so forth while they were doing everything they could to destroy the teat on which they were suckling. You know what I'm saying? And the Koch brothers family is just right at the head of the class. I don't think there is a more destructive force in America than the Koch brothers, Limbaugh, Beck, the rest of these pigs. And I just, you know, still labor with the same endlessly not answered question. How much longer until we decide that the people who have screwed everything up need to pay the price of what they've done? If we had invaders coming to this country to try to do to us what the teabaggers and the Republicans and the far right are doing to us now, if they were invaders, we would arm ourselves and do everything we could to kill them. You know that. I know that. It's your genetic material knows that. It is in there. It's called survival. But because these people have American citizenship, somehow they're exempt from the rest of us saying, okay, you sons of bitches, you're not going to do it. Now, on the other hand, you can make an argument, but let the whole thing collapse. Let it all come down. But if you're going to make that argument, and I have made the argument of letting the Republicans take over so that America can see how vile they are. Okay, we're at that point. But the argument of letting it all collapse is a viable argument. But keep in mind, and this you must, any revolutionary has to, keep in mind what will happen to innocent people as this whole house of debt and hypocrisy comes crashing down. Now, there is a way, there are many ways to prevent the innocent from being harmed to the degree that it would cost them their lives or their dreams or their hopes. But if we continue to allow this virus, this capitalist virus, to continue to make us sicker and sicker and sicker until we die. I mean, when you suck in your last breath, what are you going to say to yourself? I really fought hard. Or are you just going to say, well, there's nothing I could do? I see the Carlisle Group and Harris bank accounts. I see them plead the fifth each and every session now. Cause America's been took, it's plain to see. The oldest trick in the book is make an enemy. A phony evil so the government can do its dirt. And take away your freedom, lock and load, beat and search. Oil, blood, money make these killers ride cold. Suspicious suicide, people dying never told. It's all a part of playing God, so you think we need them. While being ash-crossed, take away your rights to freedom. Bear witness to the sickness of these dictators. Hope you understand the time, brother, cause it's major. What could you do?
It's Mike Malloy.
Oh, soothing. From Prairie 2, a girl named Sunshine, even in death. The markets continued to slide today, but there wasn't any real panic, which is surprising considering the new GDP numbers. Second quarter growth was a dismal 1.3%, and the first quarter was revised downward to nearly zero, with the fourth quarter number slashed as well. All this happened while the Fed was pumping another trillion into the economy during this period. Apparently, the Fed's fears of deflation were justified. There was still some Obama stimulus programs ongoing during this time, or we would have seen negative numbers and the depression would be going full tilt. Of course, we wouldn't be seeing such bad numbers if 600,000 government workers hadn't been terminated in the past year, mostly in red states, or if the major corporations weren't systematically cutting pay. CEO pay is up sharply, but they just don't spend it the way the average working stiff does. An extra gardener on his estate at $5 an hour doesn't make up for cutting all his factory workers' pay by two-thirds. And the gardener sends half his pay back home to the country the CEO has helped destroy the economy of with NAFTA. Obama has had a hand in this as well, with cuts in federal employees and agency spending, contrary to what the right continues to spout about mushrooming government. They can count on the corporate media to not correct this lie, and the corporatists often repeat it themselves, if only in a backhanded way. You see, government spending is up sharply, but only for safety net programs like unemployment, food stamps, and Medicaid. Payouts to retirees are also way up as well, and not so much for the increasing number of baby boomers aging out, but because 2 million people were forced into early retirement by the 2008 crash. These people aren't counted among the unemployed either. There were so many involuntary retirees that it temporarily tipped the Social Security program into fiscal deficit, but the trend will reverse again as these same people won't be retiring in the next few years, as would have been happening, and will be replaced with younger workers. Well, except for that depression thing keeping young people from finding jobs. The 20 big Wall Street banks met with Treasury officials Friday, today, to discuss how the T-bill auctions will be handled next week. Even without any new debt, there are about $500 billion in maturing debt to be refinanced each month. This is where the big worry about tipping over into a Greece-like situation comes in. If interest were to shoot up to 16%, like during the Reagan administration, it would drive the cost of borrowing up to eight times what it is now. Reagan was borrowing so much money that he couldn't get enough and had to raise taxes repeatedly. Yes, he did, right-wingers. Look it up. Not on his rich friends, though. These days, there is so much money available for the government to borrow because the rich simply don't pay any taxes, and they need to put it somewhere. This is why Wall Street is concerned. They have billions that need a home, and they certainly aren't going to create jobs with it. Worse yet, the proles, that's us, might catch on and demand the government start paying the rich parasites again, start taxing the rich parasites again. In other news, even if Tropical Storm Dawn delivers its maximum possible rainfall, Texas will still qualify as the world's sixth largest desert. In Norway, today an 18-year-old girl known to her friends as Sunshine was laid to rest in the first funeral in the aftermath of a Christian extremist day of terrorism. While most of the victims were the grandchildren of the people who fought Nazi occupation, this teenage girl was a refugee of Bush's devastation of her homeland, Iraq. And she was the first ever Muslim to be laid to rest in this Christian graveyard in a massive procession led by a Christian cleric and a Muslim imam. The Norwegians have never been cowed by the Nazis, and they will not be now. Will Americans be able to say the same? PrairieNumeral2.com. See, y'all sent me those emails and said, well, you've just gotten a divorce from Prairie 2 a few days ago. No. A lover spat, maybe, but certainly not a divorce. Listen, a lot of the people who contribute an awful lot to this program definitely do not agree with every bit of rhetoric that comes out of my mouth. Oh, trust me on that. Oh, my God. You think that some of our contributors, you know, like our unpaid staff, Sharon and Bob and Kay and Ben and, you know, just on and on. You think those people are in lockstep with me? Oh, please. Some of the worst arguments about a certain topic I've had was with Ben Birch. I got a bunch of email. Oh, well, you've really pissed Prairie too off now. He's never going to be your correspondent again. And I just wrote back and said, of course he will. You know what? What are you talking about? Oh, my God. all right. Is it time to go? No? I think it is, isn't it? Ah, there it is. All right, bottom of the next hour, which is in about 40 minutes, we're going to be giving away a one-year podcast subscription if you get the right answer to podcast trivia. And we're going to open up the lines pretty quick. So if you want to get it said, now's the time. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy.
It's a
got jammed through the House was immediately murdered in the Senate, as promised. Only, what is interesting, it was murdered in the Senate by a vote of 59 to 41. My goodness, you mean... Yeah, that's right. There were some Republicans who decided in the Senate to kill it, too. Well, they're one vote shy of that magic 60 to shut off tomorrow what... Senate Republicans are promising, and that is an endless filibuster, while the Democrats are trying to work with the Republicans who are still sane to craft some kind of a compromise bill, which would then have to go back to the House. I've been saying, I hate to start a sentence with, see what I told you, or I've been saying this. Well, that's what I've always said, but I've been saying now for several weeks that they're not going to make the August 2nd deadline. And I really do believe that. There is hard rain gonna fall, folks. And here in the Malloy homestead, we have just done what Prairie 2 has been talking about for 3 years now. Stocked up on more canned goods. Jesus. I was in the grocery store the other day. And, you know, most of the stuff that I buy is fresh. Or fresh frozen. And, but we have this freezer this big standalone freezer that, you know, occasionally I put body parts of the Republicans that I drag out into the woods behind my house and cut up with a chainsaw. But when I'm not doing that, you know, we put stuff in there. God forbid we should ever, or somebody forbid that we should ever have a real power shortage that goes, a power outage that goes on for hours. Because we're still on the grid. I haven't figured out yet, how to use solar energy to run most of the electrical junk that we have in this house. The freezer, I don't think, is a piece of junk, though. That's a pretty important little white island. But so we've been, you know, we've been kind of prepared for this, and I hope you are. I mean, this is not a Y2K thing. This is not. It's nothing like that. Where you have to go buy all that stuff that the right-wingers were pushing. Remember all that? Everything from dried peas to dehydrated water to emergency mountain tents to lots of weapons and ammunition, generators, you know, all that kind of stuff. But you really, I think, should make at least minimal preparations. And I think that a good idea would, I don't know where you keep your checking account or savings account if you have it. I would no more deal with a bank than pee up a rope, except for this damned business account we have to have that has to go through a bank because, you know, our credit union will handle business accounts. Is that true with all credit unions, Kathy? I don't know. But have some cash on hand. Right? A little bit. Oh, Prairie 2 wanted me to tell my listeners that Prairie 2 only picks fights because the makeup sex is so good. Oh, yeah. Okay. Joe in Madison, Wisconsin. Hey, Mike, is there such a thing as compassionate capitalism? Is it possible to have a democracy when we have an economic system that allows individuals to make unlimited profits and then inevitably thwart democracy, such as the Citizens United ruling? Is capitalism primarily concerned with the well-being of the average citizen? Is capitalism concerned with solving the major issues that confront the world today, such as the destruction of the environment, war, famine, alternatives to fossil fuel? Joe in Madison. Of course not. The answer to every single question there, of course, is no. And I don't know why people don't understand that. We were convinced, and wrongly so, a couple of times, but the most recent, the most grievous, was after World War II. And the entire planet was in, well, except not the entire planet. You know, I said this the other night. Certainly not very much at all of the Western Hemisphere, but so much of the rest of the world was in ruins. There was one economy left standing that was equipped to do all the things that were needed, and that was the U.S. economy, and it generated a job situation almost impossible to completely fill. More jobs than workers. And it was the end of World War II that built that vast middle class, thanks to pent-up demand in this country and around the world, all the construction to make up for all the damage, a lot of it caused by the United States. But in that period of time, from 1946 to when? 1976, maybe? About a 30-year period, would that be a safe guess, or realistic parameters? a lot of people saw the economic system here because, you know, we never lifted our eyes up to what was going on over our heads or behind our backs. But we all got the impression that, oh yeah, this is great. You know, you get out, work hard, save your money. You can do this. You can do that. You can do this. You can do that. And essentially that was true. Because capitalism at the time was just, you know, it was curling its fist. It hadn't smashed down yet onto the worker. Whether the worker was white collar, blue collar, pink collar, it doesn't matter. But it took a long time for American capitalism to once again clench its fist. And son of a bitch, when it finally came down, huh? Huh? You feel it? Did you feel it? Did you feel that punch right on top of your head? How much did capitalism take from you, ducks? Huh? How much? But God forbid we talk about that because, you know, capitalism is the, what's the alternative, Mike Malloy? Communism, you dirty communist. You're probably a faggot too, aren't you? You atheist, communist faggot. That's what you are, right? Malloy? Oh, yawn. Oh, my God. This hour is being sponsored by the Malloy and Skype chat rooms. This message is written by Grateful Spirit. Here's the message. Thank you, Mike and Kathy Malloy. You provided us a home to evolve, a universal voice of truth seekers. The awakening has begun for our evolution revolution. Love and respect will overcome hate and fear. You're damn right it will. Thanks to everybody in the Malloy and the Skype chat rooms and to Grateful Spirit. Yeah! Yeah! During the next break, we'll take your calls for podcast trivia. The phone number here is 877-996-2556. 877-996-2556. Podcast trivia players only right now. We'll open up the lines for conversation a little bit later. Now, regarding those 59 yes votes and 41 no votes in the Senate, and you notice that's every single senator cast a vote. Isn't that interesting? The Prairie 2 writes, the bill passed with 59 votes, which means none of the 41 Republicans who voted against it were willing to put on their clown hats and filibuster it. You can read this as a signal that there would be no filibuster on the final bill. The Treasury is saying that they have enough cash to last through the 15th of August, including the next round of Social Security checks. What the United States of America can scrape together is less than the $59 billion that Apple Computer has on hand. It really pales compared to the $2.25 trillion that all the U.S. corporations have in cash. Take notice that this is much more than the annual deficit. This is why the U.S. has no problem borrowing all the money it wants at 2% interest. Why? Well, the rich are taxed at such a low rate that even after they have collapsed the economy, they still have more than enough money that they don't know what to do with but to buy treasury notes that pay next to nothing. Things are really not so bad that it can't be fixed if people realize that before it does get to be that bad. Thank you for joining in the Prairie 2 program tonight. No, I was talking to a friend of mine today who has that problem. Yeah, I have a couple of friends like that. But this friend says he has so much cash, he doesn't know what to do with it because he's not going to put it into anything in the stock market. I don't know why I even talk with him. Every time I talk with him, I just come away from the conversation thinking, why do you talk with me? I'm not in your league, pal. I have, you know, gee. But he's so afraid of putting all his mountain of money, cash money, into anything because it could all collapse. And I suggested to him, I said, why don't you go for some of those treasuries? And he tried to tell me that he has so many of them now, they're wallpapering their house. But, gosh, to have the problems of the rich, huh? What? Well, we don't have a call yet on podcast. All right. Well, then we just won't play. Do you want to play? 877-996-2556. I've been abandoned. You know, the right-wingers are right. We don't have any audience. They're right. All right. Play the closing music and let's just forget about it. We got plans this weekend. We can, we can go do stuff.
Remind me, I need to get 9-volt batteries, and I also need a new soap pump for the kitchen.
Okay. You mean that little thing on the sink to pump out detergent? Okay. All right. I did. Oh, what? What? People are calling? Oh, my God. All right. All we want to do is give you a one-year subscription to Malloy Show Podcast. There you go. All the lines are lit now. You just have to bitch a little bit, right? What you get is a one-year subscription to this program, the podcast. There'll be one in your mailbox, I think, your email box every morning. And it's free. It has a retail value of $56.40, I think. And it's all yours. All you have to do is just answer the question correctly. And if you do that, you'll win. All right, so when we come back from this break, we will take calls on podcast trivia until we find a winner. Should I give him a hint? Should I give him a hint what the question's about? Merlot. There's your hint. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy.
Rotating, a whole life is a paid vacation. You probably won't hear us on your radio station. The beats like these on the underground nation.
time once again for podcast trivia, where you can win a one-year subscription to podcast downloads, the Molly Program, free, $56.40 value. Woohoo! All you have to do is get the right answer to our podcast trivia question. Let us turn to our contestants. Gelia, is it Gelia?
It's Gila, as in Gigi Mommy.
Gila. All right, Gila in Detroit.
Yeah, I'm in the chat room.
Oh, you're in the chat room. Okay, well, hi.
I'm
not sure about you people in the chat room. You make me, but listen, thanks for the sponsorship tonight.
Oh, you're more than welcome.
That was really nice.
You keep us sane.
All right, are you ready, Gila?
I hope so. I hope I get help from the chat room, guys. I hope they can help me.
No, this is not... what was that program? Call your friend or...
Oh, the Millionaire Show.
The Millionaire Show, yeah. Okay, here we go. Start the music, please. All right, Gila. Before ascending to the position of Speaker of the House, what was John Boehner's private sector occupation? Was he A, a human test subject for Kleenex tissues, B, president of a small company that sold plastics and packaging, C, an Oompa Loompa stand-in for the Gene Wilder film Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory, or D, a former dual spokesman for both Bartles and James and Benson and Hedges?
Oh, gosh. I think they're telling me D. I thought he worked in a bar.
No. All right. Do I have to go through it again?
Yeah.
All right. Was he a human? What happened to our music that plays when people are thinking? Where's that thinking music? There it is. Okay, Gila, was he a human test subject for Kleenex, B, president of a small company that sold plastics and packaging, C, an Oompa Loompa stand-in for the Gene Wilder film Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory, or D, a former spokesman for both Bartles and James, that's wine, and Benson and Hedges, those are cigarettes?
Ah, okay. Everyone's telling me B as in boy.
That's right! all right, way to go, Gila. Was that hard?
It's been a long week.
Oh, has it? What's
yeah?
It definitely has. And you know what? Next week is going to be longer.
I know. I got my passport ready.
Okay. All right, Gila, stay on the line. I'm going to put you on hold, and Kathy will get the pertinent information. And thanks a lot for playing, okay?
Okay.
All right, take care. Gila. All right. And I might as well mention that this hour is sponsored by the Molloy and Skype chat rooms. The message I'm about to share with you is written by Grateful Spirit. And the message is this. Thank you, Mike and Kathy Molloy. You provided us a home to evolve, a universal voice for truth of truth seekers. The awakening has begun for our evolution revolution. Love and respect will overcome hate and fear. Well, I hope so. Our hour two sponsor, thanks a lot, folks. We appreciate it. Speaking of the evolution revolution, Andre found this comment. It was in response to a video posted at Raw Story about a coming revolution or whatever. And Andre writes, I thought this was kind of on target. This is what it says. Quote, the revolution is happening right now while the masses watch Dancing with the Stars and play video games. It is an almost completed revolution of the elite against the masses. It took shape in back rooms and invite-only gatherings attended by the most powerful and elite ultranationalist global power players and their lackeys over the last few decades. The end result is already taking form, but its form is expertly being obscured by our tightly controlled mass media outlets. The corporate fascist shadow government is hiding in plain view, and the decision makers that operate from the shadows, the ones that sat Obama down back in 2008 and told him, now that you've been elected, let's forget about those promises you made and let's discuss how things are actually going to go down from here on out. Those people, through their networks, are rapidly consolidating financial assets and power. The masses see it play out as aftershocks from a global economic implosion or global terrorism or climate changes causing major changes in the way governments control their citizenry. By the time the people realize what has happened, they'll be too demoralized and broken down to anything about it. And that is if they even care enough to look up from their television screens and acknowledge the situation. End quote. Ooh, that's kind of bleak, isn't it? It's also, so much of this stuff is on target. I spent the longest time telling myself, no, come on. All that stuff about overlords and organizations and international banking firms and money manipulators and power brokers and people who really control governments. And it took a long time. One of the most recent examples, of course, is the Murdoch operation in the UK. I mean, that's kind of a classic example. Even though it was run by just filthy subhumans, the whole Murdoch clan, with a couple of exceptions, he has a couple of children who seem to be pretty much shocked by what their pater has accomplished. And in terms of, the subterfuge, the horror, the bad stuff. But it took me the longest time to actually sit down with myself and say, look, there are a lot of people out there on the fringe who every time, you sneeze, they say you've been injected with something out of the sky. You know, you got to watch out for those people. I grew up in a period of time when we were told that fluoridation of the water was a communist plot. I don't know, maybe it was. Was it a communist plot? I have no idea. But, when I heard all that stuff, I used to think, oh, these poor, miserable bastards who believe this. Communist plot to do what? Make our brains weak? Well, the fluoride was put in what, in the 50s? And this other stuff, and this is where I really piss people off, that if I have my children vaccinated, that there was some terrible thing that was going to happen to them, and just, on and on and on and on. From that level all the way up to the point that there were so-called overlords who really did have an ultimate plan. And, I used to think, but, wait a second. The overlords, they only live 60, 70 years and they die. And some of this stuff takes a long time to put into place. And, I remember reading or somebody saying to me, you don't get it. This is an intergenerational thing. These people think in long-term Malloy. You may think about next week's paycheck or, where it's going to come from, but these folks think long-term. Well, I'm starting to, several years ago, I started to think, But what if there is a little tiny bit of truth about the revolution having already occurred, just like the piece I just read to you that Andre sent? What if it's already occurred? Only it's not the kind that you thought it would be. And then I immediately think, well, then counter-revolution. Yeah. Have you looked at the other side lately? And then I answer, this is all schizophrenic, but, I answer my other person inside me. There's several of us. And I say, oh, yeah, I've seen the other side. Matter of fact, I've felt their batons jammed into my back and felt their plastic shields and looked into their dead eyes. Yeah. And how are you going to revolution against that? Well, there are only so many of them. How many? I don't know. Only so many. And there are 300 million of us. 300 million. Yeah. Do you think all 300 million are interested in rebellion? Well, no. How many? Half? Get real. A fourth? Get realer. Well, look, you're bumming me out here with this. You're telling me the revolution has already occurred and it was done on me. Exactly. Well, I don't think I like that. Precisely. When did it happen? Oh, when you were chattering away on your talk radio program. Take your phone calls. So if you're on a hold, stay there. If you're not, the phone number again is 877-996-2556. This hour has been sponsored by, are you ready? The Malloy and Skype chat rooms. And the message was written by Grateful Spirit. And the message is, thank you, Mike and Kathy. You provided us a home to evolve, a universal voice of truth seekers. The awakening has begun for our evolution revolution. Love and respect will overcome hate and fear. I certainly hope so. And thanks a lot to the Malloy chat room for the sponsorship and the nice message. Thanks a lot, y'all. That's very nice. What else we got here? There's just so much. I've got a whole Q&A sheet on the debt ceiling issue, which really doesn't make a whole lot of sense to get into. If you're interested, you've already done your own research. And if you're not interested, I can't say I blame you for that. But I am kind of, surprised that, you know, 53 teabaggers are holding the country hostage and about to wreak all sorts of damage if they succeed. We had 19 hijackers come to this country. And, if you believe the official story, by the time they were all dead, so were another 3,000 people along with them. The teabaggers, of course, once they do their damage, what's going to be the penalty? And that's A. B is, how in the hell can 50 some people out of 330 million do this? The rules apparently in the House and the Senate are rules that were, I don't know if they've been modified. It's my idea that the rules can be changed with every session of Congress, every new session. They can rewrite the rules any way they want. Is that right? I don't know. But, you know, the Republic has been in existence now for 230 some years. And we're at a point where 53 half-wits who don't understand politics at all can do this. I mean, it does kind of put me in a weird position, because I do not like Republicans worth a damn, and most Democrats have displayed a kind of weakness that to me is just causes me to get dizzy and nauseous. I don't like weakness and cowardice in the political arena. I mean, of course, there are things we're all afraid of. There are things that make us weak. But in the political realm, weakness and cowardice to me is a clear indication that the son of a bitch never should have come into the arena to begin with. If you're going to be weak and a coward and let a bunch of neo-fascists push you around, why are you here? Why are you here? You know, how many of these people, Republican and Democrat, when they announce their candidacy, you know, with flags flying and their moms there and all the kids and maybe some grandkids, they announce their candidacy, what do they all say? Well, you know, I'm here because I believe in this country and I want to make things better. And they go off on that theme of making things better. And to some of these people, the theme of making things better is obviously a psychotic approach to making things better, because they're not. They're going to make things enormously worse. But they all start with that position. Now, the ones that you don't expect the cowardice from, or the ones I don't expect the cowardice from, why say that sort of stuff if you're not going to take a stand against this kind of dirty, filthy corporatism? If you're not going to take a stand, is it because the dirty, filthy corporatism is what put a lot of money in your pocket so you could run for office? Well, yeah, that's usually part of it. It sure is. Well, can't you figure out some other scam? Why don't you run a Ponzi scheme? Why don't you, you know, I don't know, why use our electoral system to display your mental illness? I mean, isn't there some other way that you can let your friends and family in America know that you're goddamn insane? Do you have to use our political system to let people know that you're just out of your brain? I mean, come on. A lot of people do that by running for school boards. You know, and then once they get elected to the school board, first thing they want to do is, well, let's get rid of Kurt Vonnegut. Jesus Christ, get rid of him, because, you know, nothing he says is in the Bible. And I'm just crazy gibbering moron, but, you know. But when they do that to, when they need a political platform as big as the House or the Senate to display their craziness, shouldn't there be a penalty for that? I mean, I have great compassion and empathy. Yeah, empathy for the mentally disturbed. I really do. I don't know how most people retain any kind of sanity. What percentage of the population is on some kind of SSRI? Huh? 40%? 60%? The part that's not taking drugs for ED. I mean, it's just... Oh, never mind. Strike everything I just said. We'll be right back. to 7 past the hour. This is the Malloy program. And I mentioned earlier tonight, I'll mention it again, I have not checked out this website. I just saw a little bit on MSNBC. I don't know, this might be run by robots, androids, people want to suck your soul out. I have no idea. But it touts itself as a new political movement beginning to take shape. It's called Americans Elect. And their website is AmericansElect.org. AmericansElect.org. Now, somebody sent me a column the other day. Thomas Friedman endorsed it. Anything that Friedman endorses, I tend to run from, flee from, screaming. And he called it the radical center. I'm no more interested in the radical center than I'm interested in having bamboo shoots jammed under my fingernails, or bamboo slivers, shoots, bamboo slivers. So I don't know about this website. I haven't checked it out at all. But you may want to take a look. I will over the weekend. I want to find out what these people are about. AmericansElect.org. AmericansElect.org. New political movement. Let's find out what these folks are all about. We've talked and talked and talked and talked about a new political movement. So let's see what this is about. Before we come to your calls, and we are coming, I'll tell you what. Let's just go to Mark in San Francisco because he's been holding on forever. Hey, Mark.
Mike, how you doing?
All right. How are you?
I'm hanging in there.
Good, good.
Just watching the cockroaches destroy our country.
Yeah, isn't that takes a lot of patience, doesn't it?
It sure does. I mean, you know, when you look at it, Mike, you know, you have the Koch brothers, and you've got Grover Norquist and American Chamber of Commerce, Dick Armey, Karl Rove. Mm-hmm. They've just
Don't forget the Supreme Court.
Well, them too. Yeah, of course, of course, they're all in it. But when you look at it, you know, there's a couple ways we can address it. One is, if you let's use the Koch brothers, for instance. If we did a campaign to bring them down to their hands and knees, they may call off the cockroaches. But right now they're hiding behind the Supreme Court and the Republican Party, and they're just...
And their money.
And their money, yeah, and they're destroying us. And they're probably bigger enemies than anybody we've faced in this country's history. And they shouldn't be allowed to walk around like everything's fine.
I know.
They should feel the heat.
I know. I know.
Grover Norquist is nothing short of a Nazi. You know, he's saying no more taxes. He wants permanent corporate tax breaks for the rich. What's he doing walking around like he can walk around like nothing's happening? You know, I mean, these people need a wake-up call, Mike.
Well, they do. And some right-winger at some point said the power to tax is the power to destroy. If that's the case, if that really is true, I don't agree with that. But if there is any kind of a rhyme or reason to that, then the power to tax to tax these people should be the nuclear weapon that's dropped on them. I'm talking about confiscatory taxes. I mean, these people don't do anything. All they do is pollute, destroy, degrade and demolish, and especially the Koch brothers, whose father, I mentioned this earlier tonight, somebody had reminded me in an email, you know, his father, or the Koch brothers' father, was a guy who had helped the Stalinists develop the communists. I've got nothing against communists. I have a lot against Stalinists. There is a difference. The Stalinists looked to the Koch organization for all the help in developing the industrial base in Soviet Russia. And when you think about this, when you think about George W. Bush's grandfather helped the Nazis, what the hell is going on here? I say take away their money. You take away their money. And I mean it. I'm talking about confiscatory taxes for anybody whose net worth is over, I don't know, pick a number, it's completely arbitrary. What, 20 million? Take it away from them. I mean, when somebody has a net worth of $2 billion, you know damn good and well that several things are true. A, they got it illegally. B, they got it immorally. C, they did not get it from work. D, they got it from exploiting other people. I mean, it just goes on and on and on and on. So
and they're using it, Mike, to destroy us.
Well, that's the thing. If they were using it to open hospitals and develop new technologies to avert global warming and, you know, buying library books for schools and going after the Christian right who says, you know, nothing Vonnegut wrote is in the Bible, but that's not what they do. They are those people. So,
you know, Mike, if a few million of us come down on them like a ton of bricks, this assault on us, it may stop. They may have to call their cockroaches back into their hole.
Well, we're going to have a chance in October, Mark. I'm sure you've been hearing about this called for day of resistance in Washington, D.C. You can get information on, you know, several places on the internet. So anyway, Mark, thanks, man. I got to move on. Appreciate you checking in, pal. Hi, Tom in Joshua Tree writes, regarding what I was talking about, that little piece I shared with you, the revolution is already over, and it was the elites against the masses, and they won. Tom writes, I agree that the revolution of the plutocrats has already occurred, but it is not over. We are in the later stages of the siege of America. That is what the war in Iraq was all about. It is a tactical maneuver necessary to implement the strategy found within the New American Century, or Third Reich Redeemed, or End of Days, or whatever those idiots want to call their incarnation of rape and pillage. Maneuver on who? On America. Tightly control all incoming resources. Lob bombs of confusion and terror into the besieged population, which in our case happens to be behind the walls of democracy, located behind two moats called Atlantic and Pacific. Hence, money, jobs, wealth, food, housing, education, infrastructure, all crumbling under their siege. Treasury drained. Youth killed in the war, or in war. A quarter of the population on psychoactive pharmaceuticals. Soon we will beg for terms of surrender. And then we will begin to see cost-saving efficiency on a scale beyond Stalin's gulags, all to take place under the wrought iron arch that says Arbeit macht frei. Tom in Joshua Tree, California. Another question that floats into my mind an awful lot is why there isn't awareness. You know, resistance is step two. Awareness is step one. You know, after the suppression and oppression and denial of dignity. But where's the awareness of what's going on? Now, I realize the culprits that prevent the awareness from rising into the consciousness of most of us, the culprits are the usual culprits, you know, so-called news media, the entertainment medium, television, oh dear God, television. But what is it about us that we allow our system of electing representatives to be taken over by private industry? Proprietary code that determines who's going to win an election, and we don't do anything. Son of a bitch. I mean, Georgia was the test right here in Georgia in the 2000 election. It was all Diebold machines. Well, all the focus was somewhere else. Georgia was the guinea pig. Every single precinct in Georgia. I remember the first time I saw him, but what? What the hell is this? Oh, isn't this fun? Look, you just touch the screen. It's just like a video game, kind of, sort of, almost. And then it gives you a synopsis, or not a synopsis, but a conclusion at the end of your voting. This is how you voted. Is this correct? Touch yes, touch no. I don't understand why the awareness of what has happened. I know the boiling frog thing and all that, but that's a mystery to me. They have no right to wield that sword. They take their orders from the chairman of the board. IMF, WTO. I hear these words just every place I go. Who are these people? Who elected them? And how do I replace them with
To make nice, it's Mike Malloy.
Past the hour. Starting to get some emails here of people who have already started research. Americans Elect. And I don't know. No, you're going to have to do your own research, but I sure am. Oh, that's right. Oh, hello. I'm start reading this stuff and forget where I'm at. I'm right here. Hey, Warren is in Revere, Mass. Hey, Warren.
Going on, Mike?
Well, let's see. Recession, war, death, destruction.
Yeah.
You know, just the usual stuff.
Suspended totalitarianism.
There you go.
That's what I call it. You know how when you get a suspended sentence from a judge, it's hanging over your head. You know it's there.
Mm-hmm.
You know you make a mistake and bam, it'll come down on you.
Yeah.
Do you ever get the feeling that this clearly manufactured debt ceiling crisis that we're going through right now and every other crisis that we're going through, do you ever just get that? And I don't mean to sound like, you know, one of the Alex Jones conspiracy freaks, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
But that feeling of master plan.
Yeah, I do. Because some of this stuff is so picayune, so common, so yawn, so who gives a damn. And yet, here we are, if you believe the pundits and the politicians and people who know so much about so much, you know, we're right on the brink of the entire place collapsing. Now, if that's true, that's one thing. If it's just a smokescreen for something else, I don't know. I just get very upset, I guess is the right word, because I don't feel like I know the truth anymore.
That creepy feeling, huh?
Yeah, right. That creepy.
Yeah, that's what it is for me. It's like, you know, sometimes I'll wake up after a night's sleep and I'll have this sense of, like, dread, and I don't even know why. It's like that fight or flight, you know?
That was because you were abducted by aliens while you were asleep.
I was adopted when I was 2 months old. Maybe that's it. I don't know.
Well, that could be. I don't know. We all have our demons and dreadful things that, you know, float around. But, you know, I have felt the same thing. Like, at what point in my life did all of a sudden, and it didn't happen all of a sudden, at what point in my life did it gradually come to pass that I don't understand the system anymore? I just automatically consider that anything I hear on television or from a politician is a lie. I change my mind after I listen and I realize who said something. I don't think Dennis Kucinich lies. I don't think Mike Papantonio lies. There are some people that I believe don't lie. But everything else starts to sound like just total BS.
Well, I think I've got maybe an answer to something you've been wondering about, you know, like just what's happened to the American people? Why aren't people reacting? Why isn't there, you know, blood in the streets or something, you know? At least those are the questions I wonder. And I think that it has a lot to do with a new generation that was born, you know, that grew up with the internet.
Mm-hmm.
And they don't think that people have to interact anymore. they, you know, I mean, I'm in my 30s. I didn't experience the 60s, but my generation experienced it sort of secondhand, you know what I mean?
Right, right.
And the younger people today, they're not experiencing any of that, you know, the history, you know, and the history that they're getting is coming from, you know, some Texas book depository near where somebody was once shot or something.
Yeah.
And it's all bogus, you know?
But what about the people in their 40s and 50s and 60s who did experience, who have experienced this gradual decline in trying to understand the truth? There are millions of us who do see this, and even we are immobilized. And that's the part. And I got a break here, Warren. Mm-hmm. So let me say thank you. I appreciate you checking in, pal. I really do. I hope you call again, but we have a break coming up here. You know, I worry about the people in my generation and just, you know, not quite down to Warren, but, you know, people in their 40s and 50s, and people in my generation, the 60s. I mean, why haven't we done something? If the leadership, you know, if you sit around waiting for leadership, you're wasting a lot of time. I don't know. Does that make any sense? I have no idea. Stick around. We'll be right back.
Seekers, gather round the campfire. It's more Mike Malloy.
25 before the hour. Yeah, Bob in Miami. I was thinking about this. I opened an email. There it is. Learned helplessness is part of, I think, part of the problem. Definition, it's a technical term in animal psychology and related human psychology. It means a condition of a human or an animal in which it has learned to behave helplessly, even when the opportunity is restored for it to help itself by avoiding an unpleasant or harmful circumstance to which it's been subjected. Learned helplessness theory is the view that clinical depression and related mental illnesses may result from a perceived absence of control over the outcome of a situation. That you literally become borderline psychotic once you have, at least the animal experiments, that's true. As far as the human experiments, I think this is one of the answers to what happened in Germany in the 30s after World War I. The German people were demolished by the Treaty of Versailles, among other things. Now, I'm not talking about the political system here. I'm just talking about what happened to the German people. And it's my understanding of the history of that country at that time, about a 25-year period, that learned helplessness was so effective that when a tyrant like Hitler finally did arise, he was such a relief. You've heard all this. I know you've heard all this. But learned helplessness is lethal because once it is acquired by a large population group, then it is easier to motivate that population group into acts of violence. Whether the acts of violence are active or passive, they're still acts of violence. Learned helplessness can manifest by billions of people turning away as a population group within the greater population is rounded up, put on trains, and headed for extinction with nobody doing anything. I mean, anti-Semitism cannot be attributable as the sole source of what happened to the German people. It simply can't. I'm getting in over my head, so I'm going to move on. Stephen is in Burbank. Hey, Stephen, I got your email today. You said you were delivering. What do you deliver?
Car parts to car repair shops.
Oh, okay. I told
Brad Friedman that I deliver Tinker Toys to help maintain the Tinker Toys, because that's what we are. We're toddlers in the playpen. And, you know, they want to have their little control over us. They throw us a few lollipops, you know, and the Tinker Toys come out, and they play with them and allow some of us to play with them, and then they get destroyed. Herbert Marcuse knows all about this.
Right.
Vance Packard also went along with it, too. It's called planned obsolescence.
Yeah, yeah. That seems like such an old term. Jesus, even Vance Packard. Ah!
Well, the Wastemakers, that says it all.
That does indeed.
You don't have to go to the university for 7 years and get a doctorate to understand what the system is all about.
That's true.
If you just read that one little nothing book. Of course, you tag a few others onto it, too, and then things start to get, quote, deep, unquote.
Right, real deep. What does the GOP want?
Oh, I'm sorry. I was going to just say Stockholm Syndrome,
learned helplessness. They're not the same, but where you throw your support behind the people who are oppressing you, but isn't it true, Stockholm Syndrome, the people that are holding you hostage have got to have a cause that they can make clear to you is a righteous cause before... Patty Hearst, I think, was a classic example in this country. Before you switch sides, so to speak, if they have no righteous cause, then I don't think Stockholm Syndrome would apply, would it?
Not here in this case. There, it's obvious. I mean, they know that they can't leave the room without getting shot. Here, we don't even know that yet. It's the same thing, only we don't know it yet. I'm not worried about it. I mean, we've talked about this word called Schadenfreude.
Right.
And I even learned how to spell it. And I won't even spell it now because it'll just take up valuable time on
the air.
Yeah,
that's true.
But go ahead, boss.
Well, I was just going to say, what does the GOP want? That's what Kathy has under your...
That's what it is. A so-called segment of our leaders speak, and I hear their voices, and they say, we don't want any money coming in, and we don't want any money going out, which means it just proves my point that money is irrelevant. It's like we believe that it's somehow the end-all and the be-all of all life in the universe, and it isn't. The people on the root are asking me, you know, oh, what's going to happen with this ceiling's raised, or if it isn't raised, blah, 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 you know. And I just say, well, if it is raised, then the rich will get richer. And if it isn't raised, then certain segments of the rich will get richer, and that's what it is. Well, no, come on, really, what's going to happen? Okay, here's what's going to happen. There will be a warehouse full of food, and there will be hungry people standing outside of that warehouse, and they're going to say, we're hungry. And the people controlling that warehouse are going to say, you have to have money to eat. You have to have the money that we do not allow you to have. And maybe that'll begin to sink in as to what things are all about for real. I mean, I talked to a talk show host a couple of years ago, and I said... well, you know, I'm kind of like a radical, and I think all food should be free for everybody. And he got off on this rant about stealing. You know?
Yeah.
What? What? Stealing? Stealing what? Who? You know, it was a little thing on KTLK Local.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we had this guy in here for 9 months before you came on, and I heard you for real. Mm-hmm. I didn't even know about you until Barbara told me about you, that I'd be asleep and she'd listen to the reruns.
Well, you know, you said something a minute ago that I hadn't thought in these terms. And I realize you're not 100% right on this, but you're damn close, that the teabaggers, or the Republican Party in general, apparently, they want no money coming in, i.e. no taxes, and no money going out, i.e. no expenditures.
Social services, like for real life, like for real people?
Yeah, for real people. So how are things supposed to work to these? Oh, I got, no, never mind. That's right. The Bible. The answer's in the Bible. Manna from heaven. God will send down food and everything will be okay. Is that it? I mean, Jesus God, these people are crazy. No money in, no money out. So okay. Let's have a moneyless society, which I could get my mind around that. I mean, you know, I can go for that, but that's not what these bagger freaks are talking about. If they were, they'd come out and say it.
I know, but they don't know why money is and why it was invented. I heard another little snippet that from Jack Weatherford, the history of money, that it came into existence for real big time, like 600 years B.C. But before that, there was things called debt. You know, and the debt
right.
was like the well. To put it in easier terms, it'll say like something like, I don't know how to rebuild a carburetor, but, you know, let's make a deal. I'll wash your dishes 10 times if you rebuild my carburetor.
Right.
And that was the contract between the interpersonal human relations in society.
Mm-hmm.
Because the first definition of economics is production, distribution, and consumption of wealth or use of wealth. The second definition of economics is production, distribution, exchange, and then you get to have your use and your consumption. It's where the exchange is, where things kind of get tricky. Like if I'm somebody standing alongside the road and I'm writing an IOU, well, I'll do this and if you do that, and they rug up, no, you can't work it like that anymore. Here, you're going to use this paper instead of your own paper. And your own paper is nothing but a note good for a debt, just exactly like it says on their paper.
Mm-hmm.
And there are signatures, and
there are signatures, aren't there?
Yeah, only one problem. The people that have this stuff, they get to print it up like crazy.
Right.
We don't write personal notes to each other. Mike, I owe you reading Philip Riley's Generation of Vipers, and in
right.
exchange, you have to watch Cywar by okay. Scott Noble, which, by the way, has Noam Chomsky and Howard Zinn.
Right. I haven't
so
seen
maybe
that.
Maybe that's the bait. Maybe that's the game theory.
Yeah,
the rational.
That could be. I haven't seen that. I read Generation of Vipers way too young. I think I was only a teenager when I read it and had to go back and read it because that was written, what, 43?
Yeah. Well, 41, actually.
41?
Before
The Great War.
And, exactly.
And it was grim and disturbing then.
Yes, it was. And
so,
here's what he was doing. He was advocating going to war against the Nazis, and he was rabidly anti-communist. And here's what he said. This is funny, too.
Can you do it in 20 seconds?
He said, give two, take one. And there is a contradiction within the self right then and there, when you think about it.
You're very deep tonight, Stephen. You're very deep, very intellectual, and just way scary. Hey, listen, I got a break. Thanks, man.
Okay, bye.
All right, I appreciate it. Take care. Some information here from trusted allies in this poisonous business of talk radio about AmericansElect.org. And so far, it's not, have you put that up on our website yet? Okay, we'll leave it up so that you can, but it's certainly not an endorsement, not yet. I just want people to check it out, but, you never know, you know? Susan is calling from sunny Squim, Washington. Hello.
Hi, Mike. How are you tonight?
I'm great.
It was great meeting you.
Yeah, you're very exuberant.
Well, so are you.
That's true.
I'm not sure that's a compliment or not.
It's very much a compliment.
Oh, okay. I've got another.
Wait a second. Is it sunny in Squim, really?
It is. It usually is. We're in the rain shadow, and we only get 15 inches of rain a year.
Oh, okay.
Even though we're in Western Washington, because of the Olympic Mountains, the clouds part and go around Squim, and so everybody grows lavender, and it's the biggest lavender growing operation. There's like 60 farms. It's bigger than anything in the whole world.
Wow. Well, you know, the sun shined the whole time we were out there.
I know
there.
You had good weather. You had great weather. I was hoping you'd have great weather because I knew you guys were going to have a little vacation out of it, and I hope you got to do stuff.
Oh, we did.
If I'd have known, I could have got you free tickets to the Pacific Science Center.
We had a great time. Bob Alexander said we've had 9 days of sunshine here, and you're here for half of them.
I know, so. But it's now turned. You must have brought us luck because the weather's turned good all of a sudden.
Good.
What I called about is that I've got a website for you. It's not middle of the road though, because you know the only thing in the middle of the road is a yellow line and a dead armadillo.
Right.
And this site, apparently Anonymous, is kind of going legit. And they're doing other things than hacktivisting.
Mm-hmm.
And they have something that's called What is the Plan? And they're starting groups of people are not belonging, and they are going to do stuff. Not illegal stuff, but mm-hmm. legal activism. And their website is whatis-theplan.org.
You know, I think somebody sent me a link to that. I haven't checked it out yet.
Oh, check it out. And
okay.
They launched this whole thing. They say that they've got a 1-year plan in 3 phases, and it's going to create a world of change. What their plan is to take all the people that are financially controlling the planet and stop them from doing it.
Hmm.
So that's quite a plan.
That's a plan.
That's a plan I can hang my hat on. And they have launched this whole thing with an informational video that if you link to it from YouTube onto Facebook, it gets deleted. But they have it on another page.
Really?
Too. Yes, and the way I linked to it was ebombsworld.com was the name of it. ebombsworld.com. And it's called, it's a video, and it shows a guy with the anonymous mask, you know, the clown mask,
right.
And what we are capable of.
Huh.
And it's really, really an amazing video. It's only lasts about, you know, 15 minutes.
I will definitely take a look at this one over the weekend.
It's the plan, the site where whatis-theplan.org has, you can join it, and it has a whole forum and all this stuff, and people post stuff, and they're coming up with ideas, and they're coming up with organized things. I mean, it's an organizing thing. They are organizing.
Uh-huh.
Truly organizing. So that's going to be interesting to watch.
It will. I'll check it out.
Okay.
All right. And
you take care and keep it lit.
All right. Thanks, Susan. Always good to hear from you. Thank you very much. I appreciate it. What is whatis-theplan.org? I'll do that. Kevin is in. Oops. Kevin, are you gone? Oh, wait a minute. Kevin, are you there? Kevin. Kevin, are you there?
Hello.
Oh, hey, Kevin.
I'm here.
Hey, yo, okay. What's up?
I am still here.
Okay.
First of all, the first thing I want to say is that at the end of the last half hour, the guy was talking about Alex Jones, and I find it extremely scary that anything that Alex Jones says could actually be right.
Well, yeah, what he was referring to, he was using that the same way you're using it, that it was not something that he saw or heard from Alex Jones, because Alex Jones is out there.
Oh, yeah, but it's extremely scary to think that, gee, maybe there is a fraction of truth in what Alex Jones is saying.
Well, you know, there's a fraction of truth, I think, in a lot of the commentary that you can find on the web, or, you know, the internet, that is that the fraction of truth is there, while the vast majority of it is just crazy stuff. You know, I'm not saying Alex Jones, I'm not picking on him. I'm just saying that's true. I mean, the internet is a very strange labyrinth, and you get in there and you don't have to go in very far, and all of a sudden you're surrounded by stuff that just makes you want to start, I don't know, plucking your eyes out, I guess.
Exactly. Well, 2 points here, real quick.
Okay.
I have two favorite sayings.
All right, we have 20 seconds.
Okay. I'll just go.
Okay.
They that do not learn from history are doomed to repeat it.
That's a good one.
And religion is the opiate of the people. If you keep those two things in mind, you might actually maintain a democracy.
All right. Thanks, Kevin. I think I've heard those before somewhere. Where? All right, that's it for us, from us tonight. Thanks a lot for hanging out. Take care. Keep it lit. I'll see you Monday. I'm Mike Malloy. I'm going straight. Say goodnight, Kathy.
Good night, Kathy.
Have a great weekend, Kevin Kinney, wherever you are.